The words chosen for this morning are found in the 5th chapter of Ephesians, beginning with the 25th verse. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In Jesus Christ, our gracious Savior, dear fellow redeemed. In Ephesians 5, the relationship between Jesus and his bride, the church, is used to illustrate the loving, self-sacrificing relationship between husband and wife. But right in the middle of this section, this marriage lesson, there's a baptismal passage. Why? Why a baptismal passage concerning the waters that save in the middle of a marriage passage? The ancient church fathers said that as the first Adam's wife was formed from his side as he slept in the Garden of Eden, so the bride of Christ, the church, was formed from his side as he slept in death on the cross. What's this mean? As Jesus hung there on the cross that first Good Friday, accomplishing salvation for all people, he cried out, "It is finished," showing that redemption was complete. Then he closed his eyes, and as he slept in death, his side was opened. And remember, blood and water flowed from his side, pointing to the waters of baptism, the blood of communion, and to the word through which his bride, the church, is formed. So then the reason this passage is stuck in here is to remind us that the bride of Christ, the church, is formed and cleansed through the baptismal waters flowing from the dear Savior's side. We're saved through washing. It's a wonderful bath. But do we need this washing? I take a bath every morning. Actually, it's a shower. I use at least 2 shots of pit spray. And anybody that gets near me knows that I douse myself with cheap cologne, the stuff that my wife gets me. My students would probably don't smell, and my students would probably say that I have a few tendencies like Monk, the guy on TV. I'm pretty clean, I think. And yet Isaiah tells us we're all an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Jeremiah says, even if you wash with lye, that's pretty strong stuff, and use much soap, your iniquities are ever before the Lord. Each and every one of us by nature is covered with the filth and stench of sin. The slime and filth of hatred, greed, covetousness, lust, passion, oozes out of our every pore. We are a filthy mess before the Lord God. Our iniquities reek to high heaven. They're a terrible stench in the nostrils of the Almighty. What are we going to do? Some people try to clean themselves by all the good things they do. They assume that if the good in their life outweighs the bad, God should be satisfied and all should be right with the world. Others simply ignore it. Just live the way they want to, hoping that everybody else will ignore it too, and maybe the spots will go away. But regardless of what we do to try to wash ourselves, our iniquity is ever before the Lord. Even if we use lye and much soap, the stain will not come clean. But there is one cleansing that can wash away each stain and mark, each spot and wrinkle. It's that cleansing fountain flowing from the dear Savior's side that has washed clean his bride, the church. And that's what this text is talking about. St. Paul says, he sanctified and cleansed it with washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Baptism here is called a washing with water by the word. It's water. There has to be water involved. But as the Reformed ask at Luther's time, how can water do such great things? And Luther responds, it's not the water that makes it the cleansing bath, but it is the all-powerful Word of God connected to it that makes it a powerful, wonderful means of grace. This washing gives us unbelievable blessings. Everything that Jesus won for you on the cross is brought to you in the baptismal waters, forgiveness, life, and salvation. He won salvation on the cross. We all know that. But how do you and I receive those things that we so desperately need in the here and now? How do we know that we have the treasure of Christ? It is through baptism and the other means of grace. Here, faith in the Savior was worked in our hearts, and all our sins were washed away. So then this morning, regardless of what sin we've brought with us, regardless of what dark spot is in our past that we really don't care anybody to know about, and what thing we've hidden from everyone else, we have the certainty that it's been washed clean through the blood of the dear Savior flowing from his side. Though our sins, Isaiah says, are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are like crimson, they shall be as wool, for we're washed in the blood of the Lamb, receiving full forgiveness at the font. Our baptism probably was some years ago. And so, what does it have to do with me right now? Is it just something in the past? No. There's a daily use of baptism. Each day, we should return to it in repentance and faith. Every morning, in our prayers, as we wake up, or in the divine worship service and confession, as we confess our sins, we take the sins and throw them back into the font and drown them, burying them with Christ, again, washing them away through Messiah's blood. And then, through the power of absolution, our new life comes forth and arises, desiring to live a more Christ-like life. That's the daily use of baptism for each one of us. Here, you and I were made the children of God. We hear that phrase so often, but do we realize what a privilege, what meaning is in that? We share in the divine nature, St. Peter says. We are God's sons and daughters. What can be bothering us this morning if we really have that thought in our minds, or as it says in our hymn, I am baptized into Christ, a child and heir of heaven. If we have that, what can really be such a burden and such a struggle in life that that thought doesn't give comfort? Regardless of what I carry in here or what you carry in here this morning, regardless of what it is, you are God's child. Just like a father would do anything for his children, you know that your Father in heaven is never going to leave you nor forsake you, because he took you in the baptismal waters. Our baptismal life started in baptism, nourished through the word and sacraments, is our comfort for this life, and it assures us of eternal life beyond the grave. In baptism, we're united with Jesus, covered with him, so that his holy life and holy death are ours. We're covered with the glorious garment of Jesus' blood and righteousness. Dressed in that, the Father sees us as his spotless children. He sees us as the sons and daughters of God. As many of us as were baptized, were made the children of God through faith in Christ. He sees us that way, and we are prepared to stand in the wedding feast of the Lamb, where St. John says, these are those who have come out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. This body is growing older. There's no question about it. It's going to wither and it's going to die. But because this body was washed in the baptismal waters, because your body was washed in the baptismal waters, we have the certainty that on the last day, this body will break forth from the grave glorified, like unto Christ's glorified body. And so we will be forever in the wedding feast of the Lamb once slain. Baptism indeed saves us. Amen. We arise to pray. Prayers have first of all been requested this morning on behalf of the family of Kirsten Johnson, whose grandfather, Roger Stenberg, died suddenly yesterday morning. O gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for preserving Roger Stenberg in the confession of your name, in the confession of our gracious Savior, and for all the blessings that you brought upon him in his life, giving him the gift of family and all his other earthly blessings. And most important, we thank you that you gave him a confident faith in the Savior. In this time of mourning, be with Kirsten and the members of her family. Comfort them with the glorious hope of the resurrection with all the saints in the mansions above, where we will sing your praises forever. We also pray this morning for Ruth Weber and for Paul and for their newborn son, John Wild Weber, who was born yesterday and baptized yesterday. Let us pray. O gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessing that you have given Paul and Ruth with the gift of this child, and that you graciously receive this child as your heir, as a child of God in the baptismal waters. We ask you to be with this child, bring complete physical health to him, strengthen him in body and soul, so that he may live a life to your glory here as your child and heir. We also pray for Ruth, who is enduring cancer. O Lord, you great physician of body and soul, you chastise and you heal. We humbly ask you to look upon this, your servant, and her husband and her child with your mercy. We ask you to guide the physician's hands in all the procedures that lie ahead. Be with her in this time of need. Assure her and Paul that you are right there, that you are the loving Father that always cares for them. According to your will, strengthen them and restore her to recovery. O Lord God, you gave your Son to bear our infirmities and sicknesses. Deal compassionately with this, our loved one, and bless her with your virtue and power. Into your hands we commit her, to your gracious mercy and protection. O you merciful and loving Father, we commend her to Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with the hymn.